Good morning, and welcome to Otelis City Express fourth quarter 2019 earnings conference call. Thank you for joining us today. For opening remarks and introductions, I would like to turn the call over to Hector Vasquez, Investor Relations Director from Otelis City Express. Please go ahead.
Thank you, and good morning, everyone. Otelis City Express fourth quarter 2019 results were released yesterday after a market close. They can be found on Otelis City Express Investor Relations website. We would like to remind you that during this call, management comments may include forward-looking statements. We ask that you please refer to the legal disclaimer in the quarterly report for guidance on this matter. Joining us today's call are Mr. Luis Barrios, our CEO, Mr. Paul Smith, our CFO, and Mr. Santiago Parra, Corporate Finance Director. Luis will begin with some opening remarks, followed by Paul, who will present the company's financial results. We open then the floor for questions. Now, it's my pleasure to turn the call over to Luis.
Thank you, Enrique. Excellent. Good morning, everybody, and thank you for joining us today to discuss Otelis City Express 4Q for 2019. Our results this quarter continue to be to show the effectiveness of our model business model, as notwithstanding a difficult macroeconomic environment, we were able to grow and maintain our leadership position within the select service hotel industry. Since our last earnings call, economic growth in Mexico remains disappointing. Recently released preliminary data suggests that GDP contracted in 2019, making it the first annual decline in a decade. Gross fixed investment declined in 11 out of the past 12 reported months. Analysts' growth expectations in the latest Banco de Mexico poll for the current and following year are down. Having said that, the USMCA was finally signed in late January. The government remains committed to fiscal prudence. Inflation is within Banco de Mexico's target. Interest rates are falling, and the Mexican peso is stable. We believe over time this should help rebuild investors' confidence and trust. Furthermore, we saw some signs of an uptick mainly in the energy, petrochemical, and export corridor. This, together with the positive impact from the holiday season in the southern region, allowed us to offset the negative impact of property renovations in the north and deliver a 9% year-on-year line top growth. In addition, our unique yield management model continues to pay off. During the quarter, we were able to both deliver a better occupancy and improved rate penetration in the markets where we operate. Additionally, at a corridor level, we were able to deliver better RevPAR trends than our peers in most cases. This favorable outcome follows a cultural transformation towards empowerment at a local level and a gradual adoption of our inverted pyramid strategy, where the final decision for room rates resides in our local teams. We will continue to leverage our proprietary data-driven IT platforms to be the first and best to respond to unexpected property-level trends. From a financial perspective, when top-line grew nearly double-digit levels, as I said before, adjusted EBITDA grew 4.1% year-on-year. The decline in margin is mainly attributed to an increased density per occupied room night, which hiked by 6% in a year-over-year basis, a program to improve our breakfast menus, and increased advertising expenses focused on increasing demand from leisure travelers. Nevertheless, adjusted EBITDA margins remained at a healthy 34%. Also worth noting, when our clean energy supply and acquisition agreement is already delivering savings of nearly 18% in our energy costs, we expect that savings will increase in coming months to more than 25%, which should expand margins. We continue to see some licensing and permitting delays as described in previous quarter quarters, but we still think it's a matter of time before these issues are resolved. With this in mind, Some hotel openings, particularly in Guadalajara, have been kicked back to next year. Therefore, for this year, we are guiding for 13 new hotel openings, most of them under franchise and management contracts. In the past, we will continue to evaluate investment opportunities with strict financial discipline and without losing sight of our ROIC target of 12 to 14% cash to cost. We remain confident in our ability to effectively penetrate Mexico's demographically dense markets, such as Mexico City, Monterrey, and Guadalajara, with our City Express Plus brand. We still believe the greatest potential for long-term value creation resides in these core markets. Furthermore, we reiterate our conviction that FeverStay is the appropriate strategic alternative for the future funding of our pipeline. We believe it is the best way to create value for our investors and build a self-sustainable business model that can continue to take advantage of the growth opportunities that exist in the different geographies where we operate. Finally, in order to reinforce our sustainability strategy, I am pleased to report that we are launching Impacto City, a platform aligned with the UN Sustainable Development Goal guidelines. This is a testament of our commitment to provide a better, best-in-class disclosure to the market regarding our environmental, social, and governance strategies, goals, and progress towards them. We understand the relevance of aligning our business with sustainability goals and look forward to taking more progress on this throughout the year. Now, I would like to hand the call over to our CFO, Paul Smith, who will provide you with further details on our financial and operational performance. Paul, please proceed with your remarks.
Thank you, Luis. My remarks here are based on Hotel City Express fourth quarter and full year 2019 financial results, which were prepared under IFRS. During the fourth quarter, we added one hotel to our portfolio, bringing close to four more properties than last year's comparable quarter. Of the 152 hotels in operation at the end of the quarter, 121 were established properties, 50 more than the fourth quarter of 2018. Our number of installed room nights during the quarter was 1.6 million and 6.2 million for the year, which represented a 7% and 9.2% increase compared to last year's comparable periods, respectively. This partly accounted for the decline in the consolidated occupancy level. As in previous quarters, our ability to absorb new properties has been impacted by adverse market conditions. At the chain level, our ADR rose 4% to 1,038 pesos, while RevPAR was 10 basis points above last year's quarter at 596 pesos. Sales totaled 817 million pesos at the end of the quarter, an 8.7% increase. Total sales for 2019 amounted to 2.2 billion, which is a 9% increase compared to last year. Hotel City Express Administration income for the quarter decreased 18.1% to 45 million pesos, due in part to some opening delays as well as lower incentive fees in this category. This translates to a 4.4% decrease for the year to 184 million pesos. Total costs rose 17.8% during the quarter, mainly due to new hotel openings provisions which should be normalized over the coming quarters as hotels start operations. 2019 total costs rose slightly less at 15.4%. Lastly on costs, our sales and administration expenses rose 9.5% in the quarter and 11.4% for the year. That brings us to our fourth quarter adjusted EBITDA, which increased 4.1% year over year, with the corresponding margin contracting by 149 basis points. Adjusted EBITDA for 2019 decreased 0.5%, decreasing the margin by 306 basis points. Comprehensive financing costs decreased 71.7% year on year to 150 million pesos. This was due to disbursements from bank financing lines over the last 12 months for constructing new hotels and the associated cost of our recent financing. Our financial liabilities, net of interest, increased 34% over the year to 5.3 billion pesos. Cash and cash equivalents decreased 12.8% to 962 million pesos, bringing net debt to $4.4 billion, up 37% year-on-year. That puts the net to debt EBITDA at 4.4 times. We expect this metric to decline as new hotels ramp up, but more importantly, loan-to-value remains at 34% at the end of the year. The combination of a 21% decline in operating income and an increase in our net financing cost led to the 78% decrease in our net income, which came to 22.5 million pesos. Operating income for the full year declined 17.5%, while financial expenses increased 42%. This resulted in a 77% decrease in net income, ending at 65 million pesos. In summary, as Luis emphasized, we will remain disciplined with our investments and continue to evaluate new projects against strict financial criteria. Achieving attractive spreads between our cost of capital and investment returns continues to be our focus. If necessary, we will adjust the portfolio pipeline in favor of cash generation. Thank you for your attention. And operator, please begin the Q&A portion of our call.
Thank you. At this time, we'll be conducting a question and answer session. If you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. A confirmation tone will indicate your line is in the question queue. You may press star 2 if you'd like to remove your question from the queue. For participants using speaker equipment, it may be necessary to pick up your handset before pressing the star keys. Our first question comes from the line of Alan Macias with Bank of America. Please proceed with your question.
Hi, good morning, and thank you for the call. Just one question on the hotel renovations that you made during the quarter. If you can provide a little more color on the number of hotels, on the number of rooms that were under renovation, and if all these renovations have been completed during the quarter, or should we see more during this quarter, first quarter? Thank you.
Hi, Alan. This is Paul Smith. Thank you very much for your question. During the quarter, we concluded with, let me begin by the first part. We have 8 hotels under renovation during the quarter in different stages. The one in Mexicali is almost done. It should be done by this month, actually. Then the one in Ciudad Juarez, we should be done by the month of April. At City Express in Los Mochis, we should be done by the first quarter of 2020. And then the remaining portion will be ready in phases during 2020, all of them. Now, bear in mind that because of the remodeling, how the remodeling process works, takes into account occupancy and the improvement of ADR and so on, so we tend to phase them out according to demand as well. That's why it takes us a long period to complete the renovation.
Yes, this is Luis, just to make a remark on how the philosophy behind the remodeling properties. I mean, the criteria is very clear that sometimes they need this remodeling because of market consequences or just usage and time, lifetime of the different materials and the different furniture that we use. However, when we get into a renovation, we plan for how that the outcome of that renovation is, how the increasing rate is going to be for that property, especially how the margins are going to improve and the competitive performance within the markets that they are located. But and also, what we try to do is during the period of renovation is how to minimize the room nights which are out of the inventory for and that is where the time frame in which each renovation is carried on, it varies from property to property. What we're trying here is to minimize the impact on revenue by having the least number of room nights of rooms out of the inventory and be able to sell.
Hi, Alan. Just to conclude with this question, this Hector Vasquez. Within the Northeast region, we saw a 20% increase year over year in hotel renovation. At a chain level, the increase of the hotel renovation was 30%, also on a year over year basis. And these renovations are being carried out to the end of maximizing the profitability of this hotel and preserving the guest experience. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Eduardo Alvazore with GBM. Please proceed with your question.
Hi, guys. Thank you for taking my question. My question is regarding the operating metrics. We saw a negative performance on occupancy throughout 2019, which dragged RevPAR down. To what extent do you think this can be a long-term tendency, or do you believe this is purely attributable to a shock as a response to an economic slowdown? Thank you.
Hi, Eduardo. This is Paul Smith. We believe that most of the decline in occupancy for the year was derived from short-term effects, and they vary throughout the quarters. So during the first quarter, we were impacted, as we mentioned in the call of that quarter, mostly by the impact of the government initiative to fight the theft of gasoline, and then the resulting gasoline supply crisis that we had in the mid part of the country. And then obviously, some of the occupancy also is derived from economic activity, and in particular from projects. Some of those projects were delayed to 2020 and onwards. So we didn't see that occupancy for those projects at the time we expected it, but we believe that those projects will continue ongoing. I guess a testament of that is what we're currently seeing in the energy corridor, where we're seeing very strong activity derived from investments both in exploration and those related to the construction of the new refinery.
Thank you.
No, thank you. My pleasure.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Froylan Mendez with J.P. Morgan. Please proceed with your question.
Hi, guys. Good morning. Thank you for taking my question. So we saw a very nice recovery in EBITDA margins in the quarter. Could you tell me what's your expectations for margins in 2020 with the current pace of openings that you have in mind? That's my first question. And secondly, you said that you would be willing to slow down on the CapEx and willing to maybe focus your allocation to other sources. Would that include buybacks or even a dividend at some point? Thank you so much.
Thank you, Orlan, for your question. This is Hector Vasquez. Answering your first question, we do not provide any guidance in terms of operating metrics. The guidance that we provide is in terms of openings that will be 13 for the next year. And, obviously, Orlan, thank you very much for your question. Some of the openings that we have last year had a delay in the maturing process for the issues I just described in the previous question. So we will continue to expect to stabilize those properties, and as those properties stabilize, that portion of the portfolio will drive the margins upwards. So you should expect a better margin comparison for 2020 compared to 2019. That's our expectation. And on the second question, what we said is that we will be very strict in analyzing the opportunities where we invest our resources. And we will continue to do so with strict financial discipline. With that regard, we still see that there's significant opportunity in the market, and we would like to capture that opportunity as well. We will be very conscious as to not to increase the net debt to EBITDA leverage we have currently, and to return to a more 3.5 plus minus 0.3 percentage points or multiple points below or above that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from line of Sanfeo de Leon with GBM. Please proceed with your question.
Hello, good morning. Congratulations on the results. I was wondering about FIBRA Stay. What's the timetable there, and if you are going to be able to do the IPO this year, and at what cap rate would you expect to do it?
Thank you very much for your question, Sanfeo. This is Paul Smith again. Two things. The consensus of the market is that the sovereign rate will be reduced probably within the range of 6 to 650 basis points by the end of the year.
Given that perception, and given that we have a vehicle that will be best in class in terms of both performance and governance, we believe that there should be a window. Obviously, the market windows come and go, as you probably know. But at least in principle, the conditions should be there for the launch of the vehicle at that time. That's our expectation. Obviously, we are constrained by the events that guide that sovereign bond rate up and down. But as long as we will have those conditions, we should be trying to launch the vehicle at that time.
Perfect. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you'd like to join the question queue, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Our next question comes from the line of Armando Rodriguez with Signum Research. Please proceed with your question.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for the call. Well, my first question is about your views on the leisure and business tourism during this year compared to 2019. If we should expect some seasonally changes compared to the last year, previous year, sorry. And my second question is about also Fibra State. What's the size of this vehicle are you targeting, and what we should expect should be owned by Hotel City? That's my only two questions. Thank you very much.
This is Luis. Thank you for your question. In regard to the foreign market, what we've been able to, the strategy that we have launched is one in which, since we have properties in certain corridors which cater to the foreign leisure traveler, not only domestic but international, what we are trying to concentrate is to launch a product that a promotional effort to the trade in the U.S. That means we will not go to the open public. It would be too expensive and for such a for the market we're really aiming at. So what we're doing is we're utilizing and spreading out with medium-sized retail travel agents in the U.S. Mainly to promote our product. So we have launched, we're going to be launching now in the trade fair called Yankees in March, a concept in which involves trade relationships with travel agents, as well as digital advertising supported by our digital media and the traditional also sources. We will put together certain packages, because our properties are in certain destinations, I tell you, Cancun, Vallarta, Mazatlan, Cabos, and Ensenada, and probably Guaymas also. There are a lot of activities outside the hotels. So when we're trying to put together certain packages in which we include the hotel, the lodging, plus the organized activities. And I think that there is, because of the price point in which we are located, I think we will provide a very attractive product in destinations like Cabos, Cancun, and even Vallarta, where the prices of the hotels and the all-inclusive concepts are very expensive. So there, I think there is a price point in the range of 100 and 120 U.S. dollars of rate, as a rate. And we will be enticing, it would be very enticing for a market at that price point to get to know these destinations that doesn't have the purchasing power to stay on the higher end product. So that's how we're thinking about promoting the leisure traveler in the U.S. and also in certain locations in for the domestic traveler. Not only resorts, we have this new City Central brand, where it's located in downtown areas of the important cities, colonial cities, which have proven to be also very attractive for this type of consumer. So that's what we're aiming. It takes time. We started last year, and we will begin to see the product of the benefit of the effort during the year. And it's not an overnight increase in volume,
but it would be a good constant source of new business that we have not paid attention in the past.
And Antonio, I'll take your second part of the question. We have published that currently we have a structure that has 42 properties and that have an asset valuation of about 5.7 billion pesos. This, with the structure, this will give us a float of about 1.9 billion pesos. And we will be moving that to we can add another, right now, another 28 properties, which will probably add basically to a transaction that will have an asset value of approximately 9 billion pesos with a free float of about 3 billion pesos in total. Bear in mind that this is what we have published. Obviously, every quarter we will try to update this number, given that every quarter we have new hotels stabilizing and thus being able to participate in the XPA relaunch. But these are the numbers that we have disclosed up to date.
Okay, perfect. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Our next question comes from line of Froylan Mendez with JP Morgan. Please proceed with your question.
Hi, guys. Thank you for allowing me for a follow-up. Just regarding the renovations that you currently have, can you remind me how many hotels do you renovate per year? How many do you expect to renovate this year? And how much is the average CapEx per hotel for each renovation? Thank you so much.
Hi, Fernando. This is Santiago Parra. This year we have 8 properties, and we don't have like a number of hotels per year. We do this as every hotel is needed. So we have a refurbishment committee, which involves people from different areas. People from development. People from construction, also operations, finance, and we go and visit the property and we decide and the scope of the renovation based on the returns. So we do this from a financial perspective, and then as the asset managers, we keep track of these properties so that they rate the yield that we need is there. So I think last year it was around 6 to 7 properties, but we are in the process.
How much is the total required CapEx for these 8 hotels, and how much is that in average per hotel?
In average, it's around 12.5K per room. But this varies, as I said, because the scope for each property is different.
Okay.
Just to give you an average, is around there.
And is this coming from the regular maintenance CapEx, or this is something outside of that allowance that you make every quarter, let's say?
No, it's there.
Is what? Sorry?
It's there. It comes from the regular CapEx budget.
From the reserve.
Uh-huh.
And lastly, if I may, can you repeat just the valuation that you would expect on Fibra Stay, including those additional 28 properties that I couldn't hear?
Yeah, it's the asset valuation is around 8.8 billion with the added 28 properties.
And the float, that would be?
2.9 billion, 3 billion.
Perfect. Thank you so much, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is a follow-up from the line of Alan Macias with Bank of America. Please proceed with your question. Alan, your line is live. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you. Just a question on the president's proposal to eliminate long holidays. What is your thoughts on the impact for HCT? Is this positive or slightly negative? Thank you.
Hello, Alan. We believe that this impact will be neutral. The benefit of having long weekends in a net specific week will be less than 4% in total revenue. So the impact will be neutral.
So it might, yeah. Okay, the thing is, let me explain why it comes out. In essence, you have to the hotels that are located in the different regions where most of the business traveler, the traveler is the foreign. You go to Cancun, Cabo, Vallarta, the four major destinations are in that order for receival of a foreign traveler is Cancun, Mexico City, Cabo, San Vallarta. That takes 80% of the total traveler. Of those 20-plus billion U.S. dollars that we generate in the balance of trade of tourism, it comes from those destinations. And mostly it's foreign people, foreign visitors. So foreign visitors don't pay attention to the Mexican holidays. They pay attention to the local holidays. So what you can say is that foreign tourism is almost negligible. The change is not, it's like a wash. Nothing happens. Now, what has to worry the most is what the impact is when you move those Mondays back to a Wednesday, Thursday, and Tuesday. What happens is the manufacturing and the productivity of retail, commercial, and manufacturing concerns are the ones that have an impact in their efficiency. For us, what we have figured out in the loss of revenue for moving those days from Monday to some other day versus the increase in rates all along, it becomes almost an impact of 2% in that week. So if you have a 2% impact in occupancy in a week, or 7-day week, because you move from a Monday to a Thursday, what will happen is 2% in how many weekends, in how many weeks that have an impact on the new change of Monday to somewhere else. I guess there are not more than three. So you will find in 2 to 3 weeks over the year an impact of a reduction of 2 to 3% percentage points during that week. So it's really on a year-round impact is really very small. Now, what they are thinking of is just the important national holidays will be celebrated in their true date, and then what the Secretary of Tourism is working with the Minister of Education and Labor, they are trying to generate another couple of long weekends in order to compensate for the impact. So in the end, it's a lot of noise with a very limited impact.
Thank you. Very helpful.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes our question and answer session. I'll turn the floor back to Mr. Barrios for any final comments.
Okay. Thank you. Well, we remain confident that our goal to penetrate the largest market in Mexico and improve on our key metrics will guide us to a strong financial results. We still believe that our strategy will continue to generate value for our shareholders. Thank you again for joining us today's earnings call. As you know, all the information concerning our fourth quarter earnings results have been posted on our website, and our financial and investor relations teams are available to answer any additional questions you might have. We wish you a good day. Thank you.
Thank you. This concludes today's teleconference. You may disconnect your lines at this time. Thank you for your participation.